people who are watching and listening are going to want to cut right to the chase.
Bruce, I did have a completely big country nerd level one question for you.
It is me who is the pure blood Bogan. Thank you very much.
But it's all heartfelt. We do hate the man.
Dwayne, it's just, you're so lazy.
You had me again. Damn you.
Well, isn't that enough?
No, we want more. We always want more.
Horizons.
G'day, pop pickers. It's Dwayne coming at you from the wilds of Tasmania, and this is Beautiful People, the video podcast for friends of big country. And boy, have we got some friends of big country today. It's truly an international show from the United States. We have the man himself, Tom Kercheval. G'day.
Hey, everyone. Good to see you. Just waking
How's
up.
Things?
Things are good. I've only been awake for a little bit, less than a half an hour, so I'm trying to get my eyes cleared and get my voice cleared and everything else. But how can you not get up for Bruce Watson? So I'm excited.
Beautiful. So with that said, we have the man himself, Bruce Watson. You don't need any introduction to those who are watching and listening to this, Bruce. So welcome.
No one gets up for Bruce Watson.
It was me you got up for.
I got to be careful with
Hi, guys. Hi, Dwayne. Hi, Thomas. How are you?
Yeah,
doing
very good.
Doing good.
Now, the last time I saw you, Bruce, was probably 2020 in San Francisco, I reckon.
Yes.
So, and then you were heading off over to the east coast of the States and you did a little cruise. And that's when COVID struck. How did you survive? I'm curious. I haven't caught up with you since then. So what was that experience like for you over that couple of years?
The last memories of that time was being with Tom and Jamie in a cafe just near Central Park. And then we went off to, San Francisco, I think, and we did the cruise. Oh, no, we went to Miami. And we went around Cuba, and I kind of remember on the news and seeing all these ships that had been stuck in the harbour, they weren't going to be allowed to disembark, and I thought, my God, we're not going to get out of the States, you know. We got back into Miami, and it was pandemonium. And I remember being at Miami Airport for 12 hours trying to get out. It was complete chaos, you know. But eventually, we got home. And the UK was a different place, you know. It was just, wow, it was, what's going on here? And then, as everyone knows, the next, you know, year and a half was basically a big bowl of nothing and, you know, worry and, you know, it was just like everybody, you know, just the whole lockdown situation. It was just a nightmare, but, you know, we were all in the same boat.
You got out just in time, Bruce.
We did. I think if we were a couple of hours later, we would have been, stuck in Miami. But I can think of a lot worse places to be.
Sorry, Tom, you go.
No, I'm sorry for doing the delay thing. I was just going to say, real quick, I remember very distinctly that in New York at the Sony Music Hall where Big Country played, from the stage, we all could sense that something bad was coming in the world. You know, there was just this feeling. And I remember Bruce being up there saying, fuck COVID. And we all were like, yeah. And then little did we know, we were the ones about to get fucked for a little while anyway. So, yeah, it was
fun. It was weird because it was the first time we'd been back to America in a while, and seeing like yourself and John and everybody, and you know, and watching on the news, and you're not thinking how bad it is, you know, and obviously it was, you know. It was just, and when you're away from home and you've got loved ones back at home, and it's like, you know, we need to get back. And yet we were out there on a cruise ship, you know. It's like, this is nuts. We're on a cruise ship going around bloody Cuba, and there's this pandemic going on. It's like, ugh.
Oh, man.
So when you did get home and you got back safe and sound, obviously you couldn't work anymore. So what kept you going throughout that time when you couldn't actually sort of make an income?
Well, basically, for the first 6 weeks, I kind of secretly enjoyed it because it was almost like a holiday, pardon me, and I got a lot of stuff done about the house and DIY and gardening and all that boring shit. And then I thought, right, well, you know, my fingers are getting soft. I need to start doing something creative and with Jamie, and obviously we were still doing the skids at the time. The skids were kind of put on hold at the time, but we were doing a bit of recording, you know, and I thought, well, let's continue this recording. We can do it in isolation because obviously we did WKW in isolation. Tom was in the States and Jamie and I were in Scotland, so we continued to do we did about 3 skids albums in lockdown. In complete isolation, and it worked out really, really well. In fact, that was one of the things Tom, Jamie and I had done WKW, finished it, really pleased, we got everything done, got the albums pressed, and then COVID hit, and all these albums and CDs, they all arrived in boxes, and it's like, what are we going to do with these? We've got no gigs to sell them at. You know, it was crazy. So, again, timing is not Tom and my and myself's best quality. Yeah, let's bring an album right at the start of a pandemic.
Yeah, the only good thing about our timing was that if you recall, we all took these photos wearing masks before we even knew the pandemic was coming. And so everybody thought, yeah, remember, you guys were in Japan, was it? And you were wearing a mask, and you sent the pictures to me, and you said, take a picture of yourself with a mask so it looks the same. And I said, all right. So we got a mask, and it was a couple months later when the pandemic news came. So everyone, when they saw that picture, they thought, how did you guys know that the pandemic was coming? And they thought we were prophets. We weren't, and we didn't make any profits either.
No, we were the unprofiting seers, weren't we? Yeah, we were in Japan, that's right. It was Jamie and I got the surgical masks because everybody was wearing them out there anyway, which is part of the norm. And obviously you did it, and we put them on the album just to make an interesting picture. And then all of a sudden everybody's, you know, following our fashion of wearing those surgical masks.
We did set a trend there, I think.
So is there more WKW coming?
Oh, well, I think probably, I mean, it would be great.
Sorry, do we have that?
Yeah, I think Bruce was asking if there's more WKW coming. And I was just saying that I think that's probably maybe down the road, but Bruce has got Big Country and the Skids, and obviously that's got to be his main focus. So, maybe I don't know. We got some things that are roughly recorded. So who knows? Maybe one day we'll be able to finish a couple things. But I know that Big Country and the Skids has got to be the main priority for this guy here. So
I was going to say, if you had an album cover coming. If you could let me know what that album cover is so I can plan ahead for the future, please.
Who let you? Hey, Dwayne, you start your own band. You're not joining our band. You get your own band. No, regarding WKW, I mean, I think it's always going to be open anyway. Again, it's just timing. It's like, I think it's an age thing as well. We're all getting older and we've all got other things to do, and you've got to prioritize, but that's to say, like, never say never. I mean, obviously, it would be Yay, look at that. It would be great to do some more stuff. There's the masks. Fantastic.
There we are.
Yeah, but hopefully it will be good to do. I mean, I'm still trying to get around to doing some, you know, big country recordings. I mean, I've been doing a lot of skids recordings, obviously. It's just hard. It's just like you guys, you probably find there's not enough hours in the day to do what you want, you know. So, but yeah, I'm still up for working with Tom and Jamie on stuff like that, without a doubt. That'd be great. But just whenever we schedules and we, you know, we feel like we can do it, I guess, you know, it's quite tough because obviously, Tom, you're working, you know, working a lot of hours, a lot of days in the week, and the same as us. It's, you know what it's like, it's hard finding time, isn't it?
It really is. I'm working on my own stuff right now, and I'm just trying to find time to do that too. So yeah, it is. Time is tough these days. We'll see what happens.
But hopefully, I mean, it would be nice to rattle off maybe one or two. I think doing another album is, you know, obviously it's time consuming, but you know, just whenever the time is right, we get a song and a video kind of thing and get it online. I think that's probably the way to go, and it keeps interest up, and plus it's good fun as well. I love doing it, you know.
Well, you know, that Tommy Gunn instrumental is what's still waiting for you whenever you have the time, waiting for your vocal abilities.
I know. It's just like I say, I'm still struggling to get big company stuff together, you know.
So when you eventually did come out of the pandemic and were able to start touring again, what was that like for you, Bruce? Was that a relief to get back out on the road? Or was it something you were really beginning to miss by that stage?
Yeah. I mean, it was a breath of fresh air getting back out, along with every other band that, from the UK, you know. It was kind of like a bottleneck to start with because you've got all these thousands of bands in the UK. Yeah, and you know, there's only so many venues. A lot of the venues are closing down, you know, so you're everyone's, you know, there's a lot of double bookings and stuff like that. It kind of started, we got back together. There was only a few big country shows we did. It was mainly skids stuff that we were doing after the pandemic. We did a lot of stuff with skids, a few gigs in big country. But it was just great to be back out there working and, you know, earning a bit of money, you know, and just getting out there and seeing people again. It was just, you know, you need money to survive, you know, and it was like, you know, how are we going to pay this? How are we going to pay that, you know? And it was a slow process, but like I say, we're all in the same boat. But it was just great getting back out and doing stuff and everybody in both bands. It was just great seeing everybody again and hearing everybody's stories. And I mean, obviously, we all got COVID at one point or another. And when I got COVID, I was okay. I felt like I had like a bit of a cold or a flu for 3 days. But there was a thing called long COVID, where for a period of time afterwards, I was just so lethargic and tired. And getting to the point where, you know, I couldn't be bothered with this and I couldn't be bothered with that. And then I snapped out of it, you know. And touch wood, I've been slightly fine ever since.
Yeah, I was lucky I never got it.
Did you know?
I haven't either. Believe it or not, I've escaped for all these years. Knock on something, but...
My wife and daughter had it in the same, you know, we weren't isolating from each other or anything, and I thought, oh, well, I'll just get it, and I never did. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, very strange. So I guess people who are watching and listening are going to want to cut right to the chase. There was a little announcement a few days ago on April the 1st that everyone thought was a bit of an April Fool's joke. Are we going to put that to rest? Was it an April Fool's joke that the Robin Miller mix has been found?
Yeah, well, it's always been there, obviously. I alerted a representative that what the cover of the tape box would look like, you know. And I think they'd been looking in the archives, and I think they'd been looking at the box that was the actual, you know, the one that got released anyway, which would have been recorded at Maison Rouge. The Walter Tubbett mixes were recorded at a studio called Maison Rouge, and it would have Maison Rouge on the box. And I kind of said to them, well, you want to be looking for a tape label that says Power Plant, which was Robin's studio. So it was there all along. And I think probably people that work in archive places, they're not going to be Big Country fans or fans. You know, they're probably going to be maybe young people that have never even heard of the band, and they get told to go and look for a certain artist and title of an album, and they just find what they find. So anyway, it has been located, and it will hopefully be getting released at some point. But at the moment, obviously, we've got the Damascus stuff coming out, and there's other stuff in the pipeline. So it's in the queue. So it's not an April Fool gag. It is there. So fantastic. But, and also, we need to find other things from that era that can go out with it. You know, the label, whatever labels going to put out, are going to need to put out extras and that. So obviously, we want to make a good job of it. So, but it is there. So don't worry, pop pickers, it will be released at some point.
How do you feel about this, Tom? You have been campaigning for this to be found for a long time. How are you feeling?
I always love to be the patron saint of lost causes. So I mean, I've done that in all kinds of different things in my life. Other stories that no one will care about, but this one, I always thought, you know, I'm going to stick with this big, I know it's got to be out there somewhere. So we started that petition a few years ago, and that got Robin Miller's attention. And I think that got the record company's attention a little bit too, because of everybody who signed it. There were so many people who signed it and constantly writing comments about, screw you, Dave Bates, we want the real version. So, you know, 30 years later, you have that many people still interested in hearing the original mix. That's really impressive. So it's, as I said on the post, you know, it's a, when it does come out, I think it'll be a big victory for the Big Country fan base, because they made it clear that they would support it. So you better support it when it does come out and buy it. And Bruce, real quick, you know, as far as the idea, I just wanted to throw this by you as far as the thought of putting extras on there. I think I mentioned this to you before, but you may have forgotten, but there's a guy, there's a fan out there, and I'm not going to mention his name here, but he claims that he has a cassette tape that Stewart personally gave him on Boxing Day in 1985. And he says that the cassette tape features the band rehearsing all of the songs that would end up being on the Seer album. And he's got that tape, and I've asked him what's on it. He said he thinks
is this the one that is,
yeah,
that, is that the guy who's got kind of red hair? I think that's Stuart's cousin, maybe.
And he's interested in he's interested in figuring out what to do with it. I've been trying to convince him to digitize it, because he hasn't even digitized the cassette yet. And of course, who knows what's on there? It could be something that maybe wouldn't work, but just I know from a fan's perspective, when I hear that the possibility of having a band or a tape of the band rehearsing Seer songs, I would be, you know, thrilled to hear something like that. So anyway, I could put you in touch with him, and
It'd be interesting to find out. I think if anything, it'll probably be a cassette recording of maybe like a little cassette player in front of the drum kit, us doing a live. I think it'll be something like that. It probably won't be a studio recording.
I didn't think so.
The only thing for the Seer that I remember, Stuart had a Porter studio version of "Look Away." It was just basically a drum machine, rhythm guitar, and vocals, possibly I Lead On. And the rest, there was a couple of things that I did with Tony and Mark, which ended up being Remembrance Day. And apart from that, a lot of other stuff was done just on the go. You know, there was no proper recordings as such. But even going back to Robin's original mix, I think what you're going to get for memory, and if you listen to the original Look Away, it's more of a live, it's the same recording as what the Seer is. It's the same recording, the same overdubs, with obviously the Robin's mix, which is more of a, it's not got that big dated sort of 80s sort of drum sound and stuff, and you know, the all that big sort of, it's more probably more of an organic mix. So basically, but when it does come out, it will be exactly the same. There's not going to be anything new in there. There's not going to be any Holy Grail stuff or anything like that. It's going to be exactly the same, but it'll be just a different mix, which, but it still needs to be heard, I think, you know.
But that is the Holy Grail, that mix. That is what we've all been waiting for.
I'm not doing a good job of selling this.
That's all right. I think it sells itself. Now, I wanted to see if I snap with either of you gents, but Bruce, I'll ask you first. Is there any particular track on the Seer that you're looking forward to hearing again with the Robin Miller mix?
Yeah, oh yeah. The title track, the Seer. I want snap to hear that again.
Yeah.
Because the vocal, obviously, you're going to hear a bit more of Kate Bush.
I'm sorry to jump in there on you, Duane. I'm not used to being a guest, as you can see. I apologize.
You're a shocker.
But I did, Bruce, I did have a completely big country nerd level one question for you that you may or may not be able to answer about that song, The Seer. So one of our good friends, Andy Inkster, challenger to the Bogan throne, which Duane currently holds. If you remember, I don't know if you recall or not, but there was an extra verse to the song, The Seer, that sometimes you guys would sing live. It went, who are we to question her who walks among the stones? Or there's much more to said, much better left alone, but who are we to question her who walks among the stones? So there was a question as to whether you might remember if that extra verse was ever recorded for the full album and someone just decided, oh, we don't need it. Or I guess the question is, people were wondering if that extra verse might be on the Miller mix, if you have any recollection of that.
Not sure. The verse might be there, but never got used. When you say an extra verse, it might have been not an extra verse as in time. It might be maybe the lyrics might have been changed for a last verse and then got changed, you know. It wasn't longer. In fact, I remember the label did want to bring The Seer out as a single, but obviously with the length, it was far too long anyway. And I think a couple of edits were tried, but we discarded them. They just didn't work. It's one of those songs. It's just you can't edit it. You know, it just doesn't make sense. I mean, technically the edits worked. They were in time, but it just didn't make sense. But there could be an extra, like I said, there could be extra lyric verses, but not, they might have taken the place of something else kind of thing. So it's not going to be a longer version.
Got it.
Hope that makes sense.
Tom, you brought up Andy Inkster there, and we were actually talking about that today, about the Bogan throne. And I had to remind him that he's actually a Bogan hipster. It is me. It is me who is the pure blood Bogan. Thank you very much.
I just acknowledge whoever I'm speaking with at the moment. Whichever Bogan I'm speaking with, to me, is the king of the Bogans.
Absolutely. As long as it's always me. Speaking of Andy, he's got a couple of questions. Well, you've answered some of them already on the Miller mix, but there was one other. He's wondering, will it be licensed out or will Universal be releasing it?
I don't know. I haven't got a clue.
Too early at this stage?
Yeah, well, sometimes they go, I mean, sometimes like Cherry Red do things and other labels do things. That's not really got anything to do with me, but I don't, as long as whoever brings it out, as long as they do a good job of the mastering, the digitizing, because obviously these tapes have lied in a vault for a lot of years, so the tapes will probably need date. They'll have to be digitized. So whoever does as long as they do a great job and it's a good package for the fans, people out there who buy it, you know, as long as you're not going to get any extra unheard of tracks, but, you know, there's going to be a lot of maybe live stuff, maybe, I don't know, maybe the live in New York, Sear, video, maybe that could come out along with it, and other
yes,
live
please.
Songs that were done around the same time, Song of the South stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that is from that era, and I don't think the Sear live in New York at the Pier, I think that only came out in VHS, didn't it? Maybe,
it
maybe
did.
Tom might know.
It did come out as a laser disc.
That could be looked at.
Yeah.
It came out in laser disc.
It did. I think there was a Japanese version on Laserdisc that a lot of fans do have. I don't have that, but other fans do. So that's probably a very good audio source.
That'd be a great audio source. It would certainly be better than VHS, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
Okay, maybe we should put the feelers out and try and get a Laserdisc transferred, and I can speak to the powers that be. But again, it's down to the powers that be, not me. So, you know, even though it's your own band and your own music, it's not.
I've actually heard that Dave Bates has now branched into digitizing old VHSs. Should we pass that on to him? Or?
Like I think Dave Bates gets a bad rep sometimes, you know. It's, I mean, the thing is, Dave Bates inherited Big Country. He probably didn't really want to work with us. But we had three hit singles under Dave Bates, so I can't really say anything bad about the gentleman at all. So he knew what he was doing.
Yeah, we give Dave Bates a hard time. It's become a running joke with us, but it's all heartfelt. We do hate the man.
Yeah.
I've got a problem with Dave, I must admit. You know, he's a clever chap.
Yeah, especially when it comes to reverb. But anyway.
So I had a very interesting Sunday there. I went to see the stage performance of Restless Natives.
Oh, yes.
Stage performance? I don't know about this.
Yeah, it's kind of a workshop at the moment, a workshop work in progress, and I got an invite to the Scottish show, which is up in Perth, and I was absolutely blown away. It was absolutely amazing. They've turned it into a stage show musical. I got into the venue, and there was eight music stands with seats, and that was the scripts, and there was a small four-piece band in the corner, and they did Restless Natives, similar to how the movie is, but different. Different. Some songs are the same, some songs were new. They put in some Big Country songs that were in the movie. It was absolutely amazing, and all the people that did the original movie, the producers and directors and writers, they were all there, and they're trying to make it a proper stage show where it can either go on the road or do a run. And I'll tell you what, once they get everything, you know, the funding and all the mechanics behind it working, it's going to be great. It's going to be out there, you know. So two shows, there's one in London in Covent Garden last week, and one up in Perth, and I was blown away with it. Hopefully, you know, it's going to be out there, because they put too much work and effort and obviously money into it so far. that they have to keep going. So that's another thing to look forward to.
So who's behind this, and how did this all come about?
Well, it's you've got Mike Hoffman, Rick Stevenson, and Ninian Dunnett, who are the director, producer, and writer. They're the guys that are behind it. And they've also got other people that are more involved with like musicals and stage shows and stuff like that. And I guess they just felt that it was a charming, you know, great story, comedy. And obviously they really want the big country involvement as well. So it's another thing that's ongoing, you know. So you never know where that could lead. It's just another part of the big country history that's getting tapped into and kind of reinvented, you know. So I think guys will be really impressed when you see it, when it comes out for real.
I can't wait. I was in your shoes, Dwayne. I just heard about it a few days ago when I saw a couple posts pop up on Facebook from some fans who had seen it. And I thought, what is this? This is the Restless Natives musical. Where did that come from? They gave it rave reviews, and it's fantastic. I mean, it's just another example of the enduring quality of what you guys created.
Yeah, I mean, I found out about it, but I can't remember now. I'm getting my memories a bit bad with the COVID thing, because I can't remember if it was a year ago or 2 years ago or three, but Big Country were doing a show down in Islington in London, and I got a message from Mike Hoffman, the director, and he said, "You'll never believe it. I'm in London, and I'm just walking down Islington High Street, and I see a poster for Big Country. Can I come in?" I went, "What? Come in?" You know, and he just started telling me about how they were thinking about doing it. You know, and you know, it's. Sometimes when you speak to people, you think, oh, they're thinking about doing it, so there's a fair chance it's not going to happen. And then, lo and behold, a period of time later, it's happening, you know? But what I saw, it's like almost like a demo. It's like a workshop. So you've got all the cast, you've got the eight cast, but they're not in costume. And there's no props. So the props, obviously, you've got a Clowny Wolfman mask, which is easy to put on, and a couple of policeman hats. You know, but they didn't have the motorbike, but you know that there's going to be a motorbike there, you know. So it's a work in progress, and some of the bits of the stories changed to make it work for the stage. But obviously they've had to bring in a lot of new songs because it's a musical. So there's a lot of key changes in there, obviously, you know. And then it goes back to a Restless Natives piece of incidental music. And then there's a couple of nice surprises to do some Big Country songs that were not in the movie. And they actually work. They're from later Big Country. I don't want to say, because I don't want to spoil it. They're from later periods of time after Restless Natives. They use a couple of Big Country songs where the cast sing them. And it's like, it kind of almost brings a little tear to your eye. It's like, oh, that's quite heavy. And then you've got a bit of comedy in it. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be absolutely stunning. So, you know, let's the next thing to go for, you know.
That's the horrible thing about being this far away, is I can't just go and see it. If I was in the UK, I'd travel from any part of the UK to see it. You want me to come all the way over from here, from Tassie?
Dwayne, it's just, you're so lazy. You know, put a bit of effort in here, mate. You know, laziness.
Do you have a rickshaw?
COVID, you just suffer from laziness, don't you?
I have a rickshaw, but I don't have anyone to pull it.
Well, the world, Andy, come on. Can Andy pull your
course,
rickshaw?
There you go. Yes, he is my servant.
No, that's really
excellent.
Yeah.
Mm.
We brought him up again, you know. So he has another question. I'm going to say this is specifically for Mandy because I don't know whether he's actually written these questions and trying to embarrass me. So I'm saying this is from Andy. He wants to know if there's rumours that, Bruce, you have the only yellow-sleeved crossing in existence. Is that correct? Hello?
Yeah.
It is correct.
Yep, yep. It is correct, yeah.
Can we see it? Is it close by? Anniversary is coming up. That's this year, isn't it? 40th anniversary of the crossing.
Yeah, we're starting it now.
So in a couple of days from the day we're recording this, you're hitting the road, massive tour throughout the UK. How are you going with those preparations?
Yeah, weekend, this weekend shows. We've actually been doing some of the shows we've been doing already. But we're kind of starting earnest this weekend. We've got Spear of Destiny coming out as our special guests. Excuse me. So we have done a few shows, but we have played the Crossing in its entirety. And we went over to Holland and Belgium, or the Netherlands and Belgium. We did that a few weeks back. So we have started it. But we're kind of going to ramp up a little bit starting from this weekend and do a lot more shows.
Excellent. Now, Andy asks, what B-sides are you looking forward to playing on their 40th anniversary tour, and why is it Heart and Soul?
What? No, we're not doing any B-sides.
Not doing Heart and Soul.
Anyway. No, not at all. Because if you do something like that, there'll always be someone complaining that you didn't play something else. So we've got to obviously play a lot of songs from other eras that were sort of successful as well. So you can't just go out and do obscure sort of B-sides, because you'll only please two people and eight people will hate you. They want to kill you.
I was hoping for Fly Like an Eagle at the slow down speed.
Just don't drink any coffee that day.
Great song, by the way.
Don't drink any coffee that day. That'll slow you down.
You do try and please as many people as possible, but when it comes down to doing little like B-sides and stuff, you know, it's like if you leave out, I don't know, Restless Natives, you know, because you're doing something else, or Ships because you're doing something else. I paid good money to see you. You didn't play Ships or Restless Natives, you know. You played an obscure B-side, so you get chastised for that. So sometimes you want to play it a bit safe.
Yeah, yeah. I just understand it. But, you know, real quick on another tangent here, because that's my job today, it seems. When we're talking about B-sides, another fan, a good friend, and I'm sure I know you know him, Keith Lewington. He recently came into contact and posted this, or came into possession of a tape from REL Studios that was recorded by Big Country. And on the tape, there were three song titles listed. One was Promised Land, which of course we all know. The other was Boy About Town, which seemed like it was, a cover that you guys did. And then the other was a song called Horizons, which most of us had never even heard that title before. So I'm curious if you had any recollection of Boy About Town and what Horizons might be.
Yeah, I remember it well. In fact, I remember the exact date that they were done. It was April the 1st.
Funny that.
You had me again. Damn you.
It got me going as well. I'm going, wait a minute. I think that was a gag, that one.
Oh, really? You think that was made up?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right. So maybe he posted that on April the 1st and I completely okay. Man, now you see, people, why you never should have thought that I was making an April Fool's joke when I talked about the Seer, because I hate April Fool's for this very reason. I was just thinking about those songs for the last couple of weeks, for the last few days thinking, what could Horizons be? I would love to hear Boy About Town done by Big Country in that era, but now it's, oh man, hopes are dashed. All right, talk about that.
Brilliant.
Even if you ask me to cut that, Tom, I'm not cutting it.
No, leave it there. That needs to be there.
Horizons.
Well, it sounded like such a Big Country title, you know? It sounded like a perfect Big Country title for that time period. Horizons, brilliant. I can almost hear it in my head.
And Keith doesn't know anything about design, does he?
Keith, you got me. You got me, Keith.
So how's, since I last saw you, Scott was with you. I think it's Gil, is it, that's joined the band now?
Yeah, that's correct. Gil's in the band.
How's everything going with Gil? How's he settling in?
Yeah, Gil's great. He's the correct height for the band. Gil's great. I've known Gil for a long time. He used to work down at Kenny's Music, and he's played in a lot of the local bands up here. He's fitted in really well, you know, easy going, great bass player. All good. Okay, he's great, Gil. Gil is great.
I also recently saw your podcast with Richard Jobson, which went out about maybe 6 months or a year ago, I think it was.
Right. Okay.
That was a lot of fun. You looked like you had a lot of fun there, and it was interesting to see two fellas with so much history remembering your stories. Do you ever get a chance to sit around and chat about all your stories while you're with the Skids? Is that a typical conversation between you two, or is it a bit more podcasty?
Well, obviously that was quite podcasty because obviously Jamie was there as well, and obviously his history is, you know, it was non-existent because he wasn't there. But at the moment, I mean, another piece of news which is kind of pertaining to that, we've started doing a new book on Big Country, and we've also started a documentary, which is mainly about Stuart. So we don't usually discuss the past, but because the documentary and the book have now been started, we're having to dig through archive stuff, and we're having to talk with each other about, you know, what happened in the past, just so we can remember, you know. So the answer to that question is yes, we do. At the moment, we're talking a lot about the past, but we don't normally, but it's only because there's a Stuart documentary and a Big Country book.
Who's doing this?
A guy called Scott Rowley is doing the book. Scott was the editor of Classic Rock magazine, and he's now the editor of Guitarist magazine. The documentary is done by a guy called Robbie, whose second name I can't remember at the moment. He does a lot of war documentaries. He's out in the Ukraine at the moment quite a bit. So he's not a typical rock music kind of guy, you know. He's going to come at it from a different angle. So that's another couple of pieces of news that are probably that a lot of people don't know about. But yeah, like I said, we don't usually talk about the history of the bands, but because of what we're doing at the moment, we are. And it's really just to refresh our memories and just to corroborate things, you know. So just to make sure that, you know, one person isn't either lying or maybe forgetful or knows too much or knows too little. So, yeah, so that's another couple of little things that are going to be happening. So lots of things happening in BC world at the moment.
I was going to say, it's fantastic. There's so many things going on. It's unbelievable. So, Bruce, I know, you know, there may be things you can't talk about related to the documentary at this point, but is that something that is going to involve all players from the past in Big Country? Is it involving a certain group? Is it, you know, going to be bringing in other people who maybe have been in the band or had some association with the band? I'm just curious about how the approach of that is going to take. What approach that?
Yeah, it's going to involve it's going to involve everybody, I think, that's, you know, been involved, you know, like, as far as I know, it's going to be, you know, there will be people like past members and people behind the scenes, stuff like that. So at the moment, it's still early. I mean, book-wise, I've had three conversations that have lasted about an hour with Scott, which have been fantastic. And we're only up to just about to start recording The Crossing. So it's going to be quite in-depth, you know.
Wow.
And obviously, Scott's been speaking to his, I know he's spoken with Richard and Bill from the Skids. So there are people from the past that are going to be involved, you know. So, but to me, it's great. That way you're going to get, you know, it's going to be an unbiased, you know, it's going to be instead of just like everybody going, yeah, they were great, they were brilliant, you know, it's going to be good.
Fantastic. Can't wait for that.
That's really, really exciting. Anything else that you haven't mentioned that's happening, that's coming out, or?
Well, isn't that enough?
No, we want more. We always want more.
Oh, that reminds me of our first conversation with you, Bruce Svine and myself on The Great Divide. I think we kept you for 4 hours. Mm. And at the end, you said, we said we had to leave. And you said, so soon. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I've got 7 minutes because I've got to go and see my trusty guitar, Rory, because I'll show you. Tom will be interested. 1 second.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I've got to go and visit my guitar, Rory, to get I've got my new guitar for this weekend.
Oh, oh, beautiful, beautiful. Yeah. Man.
So, it's an Epiphone, but I'm just getting the new pickup for the guitar.
That's fantastic. Ah, that's great. What kind of pickup?
It's a P90.
Okay, yeah.
Got a really, really nice ring. I mean, that's a Les Paul that rings like that. It's completely hollow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful.
So it'll be the same pickup cover, but it's basically, it's a signature as James Jared Nichols, something like that. American guitar player.
Okay.
Got a stinger on the back. And it's nice and hollow.
And a beautiful, beautiful gold top. I love it.
All gold. So nice. I'm just, like I say, Wilfie's made me a new pickup. So I've got to get that done today. So I've got a meeting with Mup, my guitar Rory, to get the new pickup put inside this. So I'll have to nip down there.
You've always had fantastic tasting. You've always had fantastic tasting guitars, Bruce. I mean, over the years, you've played some great instruments.
Oh, this one's a beauty. It's lovely.
I still want to see the guitar that you played on the Heart of the World video. I want you to bring that out someday.
Oh, no. I don't. That was one of Jimmy Moon's guitars. That one's disappeared into the ether. It was, the trouble with that guitar is you couldn't get a case to fit it. It was so long.
Hey. Oh, my God.
I have to ask, since I'm here in Australia, we had some dates a little while ago lined up for Australia, and then they were cancelled. What happened with that? And do you have any plans to ever come to Australia again?
No, we're definitely coming back. What happened was, towards the end of the COVID thing, I think there was Australia, New Zealand was happening again, but I can't remember. It was either, I think we were allowed to go to New Zealand, but not Australia, or vice versa because of the COVID restrictions. So it wouldn't have been worthwhile just going out and doing 5 shows and, you know, so you've got to do New Zealand and Australia to make it work.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the problem was. But no, we're hopefully going to get out there next year.
Cool. But you're very busy till the end of the year in the UK anyway, mm-hmm. aren't you? And then doing a few European dates then?
We're talking about it, you know. It's like I say, we just came back from the Netherlands. So it's kind of tough getting back into these places again, but you know, my agent's working on it all the time. So, but no, hopefully we'll get back to Australia, New Zealand next year.
Next year?
Because I love it. Next year, hopefully.
Excellent.
Next year. Beautiful. We can only go there. And as for the States, I mean, I don't know. There's always talk about things happening in the States. And sometimes, as you know, Tom, they happen. Sometimes they don't. But I love going to all these places. So if they happen, they happen, then brilliant.
But well, you said I was lazy for not coming to the UK from Tasmania. What about Tom coming from the US? Come on, Tom.
Yeah.
Get over.
Oh, it's not laziness that keeps me, but well, you know, I was ready to come to Dunfermline for the Stewart, the annual Stewart convention or event that they held at his old home.
That's right. And, it got canceled, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. So I was going to meet Svein for the very first time. We had our tickets. We were ready to go. I was even going to play a little bit. So hopefully that'll happen again at some point down the road. But that was one of the biggest disappointments from COVID for me, was having to cancel that trip.
Yeah. Well, let's hope something happens and we can all get together in some shape or form and at least do something creative, even if it's one song or two songs or something like that. It'd be great.
Absolutely. Well, we've got two WKW songs in the can, that was Spitfire and What About Peace. So I think if we just get one more, we can release a three song EP.
One more. Right. Let's get the thinking cap on and let's do that song, that cover, that
Tommy Gunn.
Yeah. Let's try and do
that. I could play some didgeridoo.
Hey, that's good.
But you and Rolf Harris, yeah. Two little boys. Right. That's a bad note. Listen, guys, I'm gonna have to skedaddle just now because that's my hour up.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having a chat. It's been great to catch up. Thanks, Bruce.
No problem.
Great seeing you. Say hello to your family for us, and Svein sends his best too.
Yeah, say hi to Spire and John and everybody. So I shall hopefully see you guys soon at some point.
You may fall before you're pushed, but it's beautiful people I see. If you're lost and dying of civilization, that's enough for me. If you believe you're